we're very pleased to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Spurs, Bill Schoening. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
All right, you've seen so much good basketball, so many good Spurs teams. What stands out to you about this edition of the Spurs compared to so many of those other really good Spurs teams?
Well, I think that this team's got a lot of depth, and that is not unlike a lot of the recent Spurs teams we've seen. But last night, for instance, in Brooklyn, now Brooklyn is a team that's obviously struggled. They're at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, but the Spurs were without three starters plus Manu Ginobili last night. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard's got a sore hand. He's the Western Conference Player of the Week this week, and he's been just really tearing it up and playing very, very well. But he's got a sore hand, and Greg Popovich, the head coach, decided to rest him last night. It was just a precautionary measure. I don't think it's anything serious at all. But just as a precaution, Tony Parker's out with a foot injury. Paul Gasol's got a broken hand, and Manu Ginobili's had back spasms. So without those four players, they still scored 59 bench points last night. That was a pretty remarkable performance. They've got some young guys that they're trying to incorporate into the system, into the rotation. A lot of times with Greg Popovich, he doesn't trust young players. He really prefers veteran players. But there's a young guy named DeJounte Murray who's only 20 years of age from Seattle and went to the University of Washington. They've been working him in a little bit more with Tony Parker's injury. And they've got a kid from Latvia in Europe, Davis Bertans, who's a very good outside shooter. His playing time's been a little bit spotty, but he looks like he could be a player for the Spurs in the future. So I like the fact that we've got some young guys that are working into the mix to go along with some of the veteran players in this ball club.
Well, you make that point, and you know, I look at the Spurs roster, and I admit this blew me away. The first time since 2001-2002 that the Spurs have had at least seven active first-year Spurs on the roster to start the season. Then I also, you talked about the bench. I mean, this bench has outscored or matched the production of opponents. I mean, 31 of their, or did it in 31 of their first 44 games. I mean, going into last night, they were first in the league. The Spurs bench was first in the league in assists per game, three-point percentage, third in steals per game, third in blocks per game. That just suggests the remarkable depth of this team and how it, in some ways, it might be a little unspursy if there's such a thing.
Well, you know, one of the things that Greg Popovich has always tried to do, and this is my 16th year with the team, so I've seen all those teams that you're talking about, with veteran players in latter years for Tim Duncan, obviously he retired this past summer, but in recent years with Tim, they'd really watch his minutes. Same thing with Ginobili, even though he comes off the bench. They don't want to tax those guys too much. They really want them to save some gas for the playoffs. To save guys' minutes, then you've got to play other players, right? So these younger guys are getting the opportunity to play, and they're out there in crunch time in ball games sometimes, and sometimes they'll play an entire game, not the entire game of 48 minutes, but they'll give a guy like Kawhi Leonard a night off like last night to allow a young player like Kyle Anderson, who's a 6'9", kind of a swing man from UCLA, hasn't had a chance to play very much, gave him an opportunity last night, and he responded with 14 points. So it's an opportunity for some of these guys to play. They also have a D-League team, and I know the Raptors do too, and that is really help them. When they've got a young guy, like I mentioned DeJounte Murray earlier, he wasn't quite ready to crack the rotation or get a lot of minutes early in the season, so they sent him to Austin, which is where the D-League location is for the Spurs, about an hour north of San Antonio, and he responded by playing very well there, and that gave him the opportunity when he came back, instead of sitting at the end of the bench, he's been playing. It's the D-League, it's not the NBA, but he was getting out there in a professional game and getting some minutes, and I think that's important for some of the younger players in the organization.
Now, no Pau Gasol for the immediate future, at least. How has that changed what Greg does? And you know, who has that maybe provided an opening for in terms of minutes?
Two players, Dwayne Dedmon, who's a young guy. He's actually 27 years of age, but he's young in basketball years because his mother was a Jehovah's Witness, interesting story, and did not allow him to touch a basketball till he was 18 years of age.
Wow.
So, and he's 6'11", he's 7 foot now, I guess. He's real springy, very athletic, and run the floor, and he's getting better all the time. But he's getting an opportunity. He started last night. But David Lee, the veteran player who's been around a little bit, 12 years now in the league, really aggressive player, player at both ends of the floor, runs the floor, a very good pick-and-roll type player. He's responded. Last night he had 15 points and 7 boards, and he's played very well in Powell's absence. So those two particular guys. And then yesterday, you probably heard about this, a Canadian, Joel Anthony, was signed to a 10-day contract for the Spurs, and he's basically going to be an insurance policy, but he played last night, got his feet wet. He was with us during training camp, so he knows the system a little bit. He's a pro. He's been around for a while, and I think that he's a very likable type guy, so I think he'll fit right in with these players. He's on a 10-day contract now, but Gasol's injury is going to be about a 4-week at least type thing. It's a broken bone in his hand, so I would think that if Joel plays the way we think that he can, especially if he just grabs rebounds and plays defense, then they'll be able to keep him on maybe a second 10-day contract. We'll just wait and see what happens there, but I think he's a guy that will provide some insurance and some depth up front during Gasol's injury.
You know, we had a conversation, Bill, earlier in the show with Paul Jones, the our radio analyst here in Sportsnet 590, the Fan. You know Paul, obviously. And we were talking about Kawhi Leonard, and both of us were at, or I should say I was at, and I think Matt Devlin, I don't know if Jonesy was, but we were at the workout he had in Toronto in his draft year. And, you know, Brian Colangelo has since said, look, that it came down to Jonas Valanciunas and Kawhi Leonard, and he ended up going with Valanciunas for a variety of reasons. But I remember people around the Raptors at that point saying that was one of the most impressive workouts they had seen a young player have. Now, you fast forward to now to 2017. I mean, this guy's gone from being kind of a six-man, a defensive stopper, still a great defensive player, but now he's the guy. And I know it just necessarily didn't happen this year, but, Bill, we're looking at a player now. I mean, I would argue once you get beyond LeBron – yeah, I mean, I'll give someone an argument about who I'd pick to start my team with, and I might pick him.
Well, he outdueled LeBron the other night in Cleveland, but that was just one game, and certainly they've gone head-to-head, and they've been pretty much on even terms. Now, you know, LeBron obviously is an otherworldly star. There's no question about that. But the way Kawhi has improved his game and added layers to his game offensively, he's always been a good defensive player, and he's improved defensively as well. He's the 2-time defensive player of the year. But what has impressed me about Kawhi is his work ethic at the offensive end. You know, when he came in, he was not a great outside shooter, but he's worked tireless hours with our shooting coach, Chip England, to become a 40% three-point shooter. He's got a very good post-up move because he's, you know, 6'7 and 235, and sometimes he's got a little bit of a weight advantage over the guys defending him. So they'll put him down on the block and let him post up a player. He's got a nice fadeaway jumper from the baseline off a power dribble. He's got all these different moves that he didn't have when he came in. And he's just become a very, very difficult guy to cover. Again, he's hitting at a very efficient rate. He's had some very good games. And he gets the free throw line an awful lot. And, oh, by the way, he's hitting 91% from the free throw line. So he can hurt you in a variety of ways. And he does it very quietly. He does it without pounding his chest. He never gets in the face of an opposing player. Every once in a while, he might say something to the official when he thought he got fouled on a play. But he just basically quietly goes about his work, and that's exactly what Greg Popovich wants. He's the guy that if Pop had to design a player to fit his system, Kawhi Leonard would probably be that guy.
See, that intrigues me, and I was going to ask you about that, because it seems to me that in order to be the guy in a Greg Popovich team, you do have to have a certain type of personality. Yet, you know what? Greg Popovich, clearly he's not afraid to say things. Obviously he's been, you know, widely quoted, very outspoken about the new president. I mean, his players, he seems to like to surround himself with really smart people, but smart people who understand what he expects of them as a professional. Is that the best way to put it? Like, I don't think he wants guys who just clam up, but he wants you to be a pro.
Right, and that's fair. And I think he always wants you to respect the opponent. You very rarely see a Spur engage in a lot of trash talking. You know, they go about their business, and they try to win the basketball game, and they try to do it the right way. And if the other team wins, you know, you tip your cap, you shake their hand, and you move on. And I think that's the way he tries to handle his business. You know, he's an old military guy. He went to the Air Force Academy. So I think that there's a little bit of that military discipline, if you will, involved in that. And also, you mentioned smart people. R.C. Buford is longtime general manager and right-hand man of Greg Popovich. And he also quietly goes about his business behind the scenes. You don't hear a lot about him. But, you know, they've gone over to Europe and scoured the minor leagues over there and some of the professional leagues over there as well. And they have found guys late in the first round, even late in the second round. Manu Ginobili was the 57th pick in the draft. So you can imagine the amount of work that goes on to find a gem like that late in the second round. You're not going to hit on all those guys, obviously, but they've been able to find some players, and they identified Kawhi Leonard as a guy they really wanted because they felt like they needed a defensive stopper at the small forward spot. So they gave up a very popular player, George Hill, to the Indiana Pacers to draft a Kawhi at the number 15 spot back in 11. And man, that trade has paid dividends greatly.
How important has LaMarcus Aldridge been in kind of connecting the Duncan, I'm going to say Duncan era Spurs, but connecting that group to the post Duncan group? How important is he? Because I remember when they signed him, a lot of people, I remember Masai Ujiri talking about, he was the perfect Spur. Like, he was just the perfect signing for the Spurs.
Again, very quiet guy, you know, goes about his business. He's averaging about 17.5 points and 7.5 rebounds. He just goes and does his job. And he's a really good pick-and-pop player where the Spurs run a lot of pick-and-roll and pick-and-pop, where if the defender on the pick-and-roll decides to go under and cover Tony Parker or Patty Mills, whoever the guy is with the ball, then that leaves the big who sets the screen open for a 17-18-footer. And LaMarcus Aldridge is one of the best players in the league at hitting the mid-range jumper. Pau Gasol is also out right now. He's also very good at that, where he can hit that 18-footer. And sometimes it's very difficult to guard a guy who's 6'11", 7 feet tall, hitting that mid-range jumper. It's just hard to get out on them.